poquito de lunes a jueves. You
the safari park. You're killing me, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hats off to Larry.
Larry, get into bed now.
Is there no sweeter sound than that of your own name buried? Cheers and applause. I think not. So everyone is trying to be someone or something they're not. Women want to be men. Men want to be women. People want to be different races. Even species. People want to be ponies or furries or Klingons or Borgs. Why all of this dissatisfaction? Is this new? What's driving it? Some people find sufficient escape from reality in books or movies or gaming or athletics or travel. Others need a little more of an immersive experience. Look at the immense popularity of Renaissance fairs. By the way, here's a tip from the dojo for all listeners in search of carnal thrills. Get thee to a Renaissance fair. Some years ago, I visited one on assignment from a magazine. I thought it would be a snore, a bunch of costumed kooks running around reciting sonnets in Elizabethan English. Au contraire, mon frère. The thing was a thinly disguised open-air orgy of kink. Guys restrained in the stocks while wenches flogged their asses with quirts and tonsors, as other pointy maidens strutted around with apples or pears jammed in the cleavage of their laced bodices, asking bold knaves and knights if they wanted a bite. Then there are the war reenactors and those who invent their own moments in time by conflating two eras, right? Steampunk. I mean, there's something for everyone, isn't there? Almost everyone wants wealth or love or at least sex. Many want fame. People want to be taller, thinner, more attractive, which is why cosmetics and fashion are billion-dollar industries. Nose jobs, eye jobs, chin jobs. One of the first guys to go for a chin job was John DeLorean. He was born with a jawline like John Turturro and died with one like George Clooney. Cosmetic surgery raked in $13.5 billion last year, just in the States. We're never happy with ourselves, are we? Breast enhancement, breast reduction. Now that's one I'll never understand. Know any guys who would pay to have their dick shortened? Neither do I. But the ladies have no monopoly on vanity. One of the most baffling procedures is muscle implants. Are you a sunken-chested 98-pound weakling? Well, why lift weights when in a few hours you can look like a 98-pound weakling with saline bags dripping from your chest or arms? Some guys are injecting their muscles with an oil called synthol, and man, does that produce some bizarre results. I wonder if they sell that stuff with a dipstick, and they have to change it after every 3,000 preacher curls. Now, they're even implanting six-packs, and they actually look a lot more like subcutaneous beer cans than abdominal muscles. If only they could manage some kind of skin Ziploc and use them as actual beer storage. Now there's a Shark Tank product. People have always longed for something more, or to acquire something that's missing, right? The lion wanted courage, the scarecrow wanted a brain, and the Tin Man wanted the scarecrow to notice him. And Dorothy just wanted to get home because her shoes were killing her. As weird as these things are, you can understand it. Vanity. Guys want to be strong. Women want to be beautiful. But what about people who want to be someone else entirely? Not for a day or a week, but forever. Not a costume change or a nose job, but an irreparably different person. Like the guy who had dozens of plastic surgeries so he could look just like Tom Arnold. Or the other guy who spent well into six figures so he could double Justin Bieber. As bizarre as they are, you can still understand it a little. but the ones that transcend, who go not a step beyond, but a quantum leap, who pin the madness needle so hard it snaps. They are the I want to be a cripple guys, the self-amputees. Who the fuck wakes up one morning, gets out of bed, sticks his feet in his slippers, and says, tomorrow, I can trade in these flip-flops for a couple of soup mugs. The self-amputee people operate at a level the Bieber replicants will never reach. Of course, the shrinks have a name for it, because batshit crazy, well, that might offend somebody. So they call it BIID, Body Integrity Identity Disorder. Who thinks up shit like that? I'll tell you. Guys with MIID, Mental Integrity Identity Disorder. They say BIID is closely related to something called xenomelia. That's the, quote, dysphoric feeling that one or more limbs of one's body do not belong to oneself. Now that one I can relate to. Hell, I've woken up in the middle of the night after too much tequila, certain that I was wearing the head of Emilio Zapata. What is it about tequila? Any chemists in the house? I know they say alcohol is alcohol, but only tequila makes me hallucinate. Why? So what makes someone decide that his hand or feet or a leg just has to go? Well, pedicures are not cheap, and doing yourself is a chore, so there's that. And shoelaces are kind of a pain, too. And most guys really hate to dance, so one leg eliminates that possibility. There's an interview with a guy that had his own leg removed below the knee. He said he remembered being a child and enjoying pretending to be an amputee.
Hey, Johnny, want to play tag?
Well, I don't know, Jimmy. Can I hop around like I got one leg?
So by the time this guy is a teenager, that leg is really, really starting to bug him. He says it, quote, felt like the leg just didn't belong. Wonder if he explored those feelings with his leg, sort of like when there's a breakup with a chick. They often want to do a pre-op and a post-mortem, don't they? Some guys seem okay with that. I never understood. When something is over, it's over. As Fantasy Frank always said, don't look back, man. But few are ever taken by surprise, are they? We can always see a breakup coming. We just choose to ignore the signals. Cutting off a relationship can be a bit like cutting off a limb, metaphorically. Which reminds me of a breakup that I had that should have been clean, but instead became a bit messy. It was at a wedding. It seems like in your 20s, you spend half your weekends attending weddings. There's supposed to be a party, right? A celebration of two people's beginning a new life together. But too often, they were more like corporate mergers, because everyone is slinging bullshit with a catapult. The bride's pissed off because she's in a state of near starvation so she can look pointy for the wedding pictures. Her old man's pissed off because he's taken a second mortgage to finance this circus. And if he's a real chooch, he starts slinging shit too, going overboard to prove how loaded he is. Oh yeah, you know you've seen this, right? The mother of the bride is as tense as an E-string, just trying to act like she's not the psychopath the groom will subsequently come to despise. Now, how often do the families actually like each other? Frequently, they hate each other's guts, because no bride or groom is ever good enough for anybody's little snookums, are they? The bridesmaids are pissed off because they've had to shell out big cake for the hideous outfits they will wear on this one day and never again. The ushers just want to get loaded and hit on the bridesmaids. And if there's a bridesmaid who is even a smidge more attractive than the bride and gets any male attention whatsoever, she will never see her friend, the bride, again. That friendship is toast. So I'm at this wedding, and I have no recollection of the names of the betrothed, but it feels like the Hatfields and the McCoys. The animosity between the families actually crackled. They both seemed like nice enough families, but they hated each other's guts. Oh, I've left out an important detail. The bride looked as if she swallowed a medicine ball. She was ready to go into labor at any second. That may have fueled the acrimony between the tribes. So I'm there with a girlfriend with whom I'd actually just broken up. It wasn't a nasty breakup, we just sort of drifted apart, as they say. She didn't want to attend the wedding solamente, and being the chivalrous sort, I dutifully escorted her to the affair. But if I said I wasn't uncomfortable, I'd be lying. It was awkward. I don't think she had really told her pals we were no longer an item, and they were making erroneous assumptions. In fact, for some reason, chicks at weddings often feel they must broker more weddings, especially with that bouquet-throwing thing. So they had a DJ at the reception, and he looked a lot like Alfred E. Newman, really. And as is tradition, the bride and groom burst into the reception with much fanfare. The groom is wearing a top hat and tails. She's wearing a fetus under her gown, and the DJ announces, "And now appearing for the first time is man and wife, Jerry and Juliet." And he pipes them in with Madonna's "Papa Don't Preach." Holy shit. I don't think the idiot even knew what he had done. Eyes blaze with rage all around the room. Jaws tighten, throats are cleared. And then the angry looks fly from table to table like flaming comets. It's fucking tense. But it did not reach a flashpoint yet. People begin to dance a little and drink a lot. And the centerpiece of the room is this buffet table on which sprawls an enormous luau pig replete with a big red apple in his mouth. And there's a guy in a toque slicing slabs of pork from it and piling it on people's plates. There was a pointy bridesmaid I actually wanted to know better, but I had promised to perform this charade for my ex. I decide to sample some of that luau pig, and I'm online waiting to have my plate filled. And some older guy from the bride's side, I suppose, asks somebody, "Where's the bride?" And some other guy, doubtless from the groom's side, says, "On the table, with an apple in her mouth." Well, the first guy hit him with one of the best uppercuts I've ever seen, in or out of the ring. His feet actually left the floor, and he lands on a table full of everything, and it is on. A full-scale brawl erupts. Glasses, plates, chairs, cutlery, and fists are flying. I have no dog in this fight and do not want to get clipped by shrapnel, so I back away from ground zero in a hurry and observe from the perimeter. And I just can't believe my eyes. It's like something from a movie. There are lots of cops at this wedding, and one of them pulls a piece and lets go around in the ceiling. Holy shit! Well, it had the desired effect. Everybody froze. Then some guy makes a passionate, impromptu speech about how this day is about Jerry and Juliet, and can't we just get along for their sake? And incredibly, people return to their seats. The DJ plays another song, and sort of a restless peace is restored. Later on, they begin the most dreaded part of many weddings, the throwing of the bouquet, followed by the tossing of the garter. No way I want to get sucked into that vortex, so I go outside. The catering joint was on the south shore of Long Island, right across from a canal. I remembered I had a fishing rod in my trunk. Bluefish season was just getting underway, so I grabbed the rod and started casting a lure. People were snapping pictures of me as they drove by. "Hey, look at that nut fishing in his tuxedo." I didn't give a shit. Outside in the salt air was fun and freedom. Inside that catering joint was a blast off to misery, maybe even a stray bullet. So if you're going to sever a relationship or a limb, do it fast and do it clean. Back to the amputee. So maybe he had a breakup talk with his soon-to-be detached leg. What would that have been like?
"You know, things haven't been the same with us for a long time. I feel like you're a stranger. When I lace up my Chuck Taylors, I feel as if I'm just going through the motions. Do you feel the same way?
He goes on. This is a verbatim quotation from the interview.
Every step felt odd, and it even felt odd sitting. I found a couple of Yahoo groups that gave me some comfort, but there was always the annoying little buzz in the back of my mind.
By the time he was 15, he'd formulated a crude plan to free himself from that pesky limb. He continues.
I was gonna pretend to fall off my bike and put my leg under a train. Then, after the leg was off, I'd coast to a payphone. I don't know if that was stupidity or desperation.
By the time this guy's an adult, he has some difficulty finding a surgeon to chop off a perfectly good leg, so he flashes on a solution. He'll blast it with a 12-gauge, and that'll fuck it up so bad they'll just have to saw it off. Sometime later, he awakens at the hospital.
Now, son, I have some good news and bad news. Obviously, we were able to save your life. The shotgun severed the femoral artery, and you nearly bled to death.
Okay, what's the bad news, Doc?
Well, we had to amputate the leg.
Really?
I'm sorry, son.
Can you pull back the sheet?
What?
Pull back the sheet. I want to see.
Are you sure, son? Usually we recommend some counseling before...
Just pull back the sheet, okay?
All right, son.
Oh, I love it. It's even nicer than I hoped.
I happen to be friends with the shrink, and I once asked him if shrinks were not the craziest fucks on earth. He did not deny it. I also asked him to confirm or deny an observation I had made in college, that those who majored in psychology were as fucked up as Hogan's goat, and so they majored in psych in hopes of surmounting their own emotional challenges. Of course, this seldom happens, but since they've already been handed a degree, what's the harm in hanging out a shingle so one can learn as he earns? And again, my pal, who is a very successful shrink, confirmed these assumptions. So while not all shrinks are head cases, many of them are. And what's so very wrong with psychologists and so much of our world today? It's the lies and the liars and how they go unchallenged and unpunished for their lies. We say truth lives at the Take No Shit Dojo. The word crazy has practically been outlawed as offensive. Teachers at my kids' schools have scolded children for using the word crazy. They are the problem. And when these fucktard shrinks, or teachers, or whomever, refuse to call crazy crazy, but instead concoct a disorder, BIID, for example, it reduces the stigma of crazy behavior. Actually, it legitimizes it. And that's not a kind or a good thing. That's a stupid thing. Because some words that stigmatize are good. Nobody wants to be called crazy. And so maybe if those words were used, people would be less inclined to do crazy things. Once a disorder has been designed to excuse crazy behavior, the person feels entitled and emboldened to enact their nutty behavior because they've been told by so-called experts that they are not indeed crazy, but merely afflicted by something beyond their control. Concocting disorders for garden variety insanity has an additional downside. There are untold people out there suffering from legitimate disorders like Alzheimer's or bipolar or schizophrenia, terrible ailments over which they have zero control. When we legitimize some nut who wants to lop off a leg, it belittles and diminishes the plight of the seriously afflicted. And what about those who want to time travel, whether to the Renaissance or the Victorian era, or maybe fast forward and boldly go where no man, two-legged or not, has gone before? It's tough to pick one, isn't it? Because I suppose the time in which you choose to live cannot be customized or altered or modernized. Do I want to be a pirate? Hell yeah. Bring on the cutlasses, flintlock pistols, pointy wenches, and galleons on the Spanish Main. But there's also going to be scurvy and dysentery and keel-hauling if you fuck up. Frontiersmen in the Old West? Yeah. But just be sure you don't wind up at the Alamo. A voyage to the future may be the diciest time travel of all. What about that Star Trek transporter thingamajig? What's to stop those molecules from getting mixed up? What if Kirk and Sulu beam down to some unexplored planet, and when they return to the Enterprise, Kirk is humming show tunes and wants to redecorate the bridge, while Sulu is hitting on Lieutenant Uhuru? For me, the Roaring Twenties holds a great allure, maybe because of my friendship with Tony Spumante, a throwback to that era for sure. A dangerous dude, but only to those who would fuck with him. A black hat character with white hat scruples. And bootlegging was, after all, as Al Capone said, just giving the people what they wanted. It's ironic how the feds could never bust Al on bootlegging or intimidation or even murder. They got him on tax evasion. Even more ironic was that Elliot Ness, the G-man credited with taking down Big Al, did not. Another chunk of bullshit lore. It was actually an unknown accountant who did. But Elliot Ness, who dedicated himself to fighting those evil purveyors of demon alcohol, would himself die of alcoholism. Hey, thanks for stopping by the dojo. It's always a kick to visit with you. Don't be a stranger. Get at me anytime at thatlarryshow@gmail.com or call the dojo and leave a voicemail at 312-71-LARRY. Special thanks to all Patreonies. You guys keep the lights on here. In the next week or so, we'll be opening the Take No Shit Dojo store, offering some banging t-shirts you're gonna like. So check thatlarryshow.com for details. And if there's someone or something giving you static, there's surely a sensei here at the dojo who can help. Let us know. We're in your corner. I'll see you next Tuesday, right here at the crossroads of madness and enlightenment. And until that time, my friends, take no shit.